Genesis chapter number 28, and I've been preaching this series on This Matters. And I told you last Sunday night that I wanted to do this because I wanted to help you to understand some things that are very important in my heart when it comes to our church and what direction we want the Lord to be able to take our church and the way that we want God to use us. And so we've been going through this little series on things that ought to matter, and we started off with our message matters. And our message certainly does matter, doesn't it? And then we talked about our membership, just joining up with the church and becoming a member, not just in the family of God, but the family of Victory Baptist Church as well. And we're thankful for our members and even those that have joined with us recently. And then we talked about how our music matters, and it's so important that we have the right kind of music in our church, and we want to make sure we keep it that way, don't we? And then we talked about our ministry matters. What you do for the Lord is so important. Whatever area of service you find yourself, find a place where you can serve the Lord and do the thing that He would have for you to do. But your ministry matters. And then during the course of our, back before the virus started and we had to shut down for some services, we were in the midst of our missions month and we were talking a little bit about faith promise, and it led me to preach a message about how our money matters and how important it is to make sure we use our money wisely and to give to the Lord and to be a wise steward of all that He has entrusted us with. And then we talked about how our motive matters. Now one day we're going to stand before the Lord, aren't we? And our motive is going to matter, because we'll either be rewarded according to the motive of what we why we did what we did for the Lord, or we'll suffer loss. And so again, it's not always just what we do for the Lord, but why we do what we're doing for the Lord. So our motive matters. And then we talked about how our memorization matters, and the importance of memorizing Scripture. And I hope that maybe even since that Sunday night, you've taken it upon you to pick out maybe a few Bible verses that you could memorize, maybe as a husband and a wife, maybe just personally, individually, on your own, but memorizing some Bible verses. And that's why we have that verse that we try to concentrate on once a month, just to get the Bible in our hearts and how important it is to know the Word of God. And then we talked about how our mentoring matters, or our discipleship, and making sure that we're seeing people grow in the Lord and personally taking it upon us to disciple folks and mentor folks when it comes to their relationship with the Lord. And now I want to turn here to Genesis chapter number 28, and tonight I want to preach to you a thought that the Lord laid on my heart when it comes to something that ought to matter in our lives. I want to talk to us about how our memorials matter, how our memorials matter. And I want to talk tonight about some spiritual memorials that we can make in our lives, and how that spiritual memorials are really crucial in a Christian's life. I'll ask it this way to kind of be a springboard into the message tonight. Can you recall, maybe in your heart or in your mind, times when you could say God specifically spoke to you? And that was a moment. Maybe even we could use this term. We used this as a thought several years ago in our youth ministry. A defining moment that you had, where you could go back to that as a memorial of a way that God spoke to your heart and He worked in your heart and He did His will in your life. Maybe asking ourselves this way, decisions that you have made for Christ. Can you remember some of those? Some very important times in which God spoke to your heart, and you can go back to them and remember them and make it in your heart and mind as a memorial of the way that God spoke to your heart. Maybe it is that you remember, or you have a memorial in your mind, a spiritual memorial of a person who invested their life in you. I preached about it last week, the importance of discipleship and just investing our lives in other people. Maybe for you, that spiritual memorial would say, there was a person who came along beside me and really invested in my life, and that's a memorial to me. That's a remembrance of me, to me, of how the Lord worked in my life. So maybe for you, it's a person. Maybe it's a particular place, a place that you literally could even go to and even point to it and say, hey, this is the place where God really did a work in my heart. I could literally take you to a place where I could say God really worked in my heart, and that's a memorial that I have set up as a place where God really did a great work in my heart. Maybe it's something. Maybe it's not a person, Maybe it's not a particular place that you can even go to, but maybe it's just something that God has used that you can be reminded of, that serves as a reminder to your memory of the way that God worked in your life. For me, I could take you to a couch when I was 6 years old, in which I remember the time where I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. That was the place. That was the seat I was sitting at, where I trusted Christ as my Savior. Hey, do you have a place? Do you have a place that you can go back to where you say, that was where I trusted Christ as my Savior? And that's a memorial to me. And maybe for some, that place maybe is some distance from here. Maybe you couldn't go back there quickly. But you could say, in my heart, in my mind, I can go back to that place where I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I remember, and I've told you this story so many times, of a spiritual memorial in my life as a junior camper attending a camp called Camp Pamadiva. And I remember going there in the state of Pennsylvania and having junior camp, and Brother Ron Riley was preaching, and we've had him here at our church before and preached for us. And I've told you this story before, and I can remember going up to that altar and that being a memorial of a place. Now, I don't know if that tabernacle's still standing today. I have no idea if it is. But I remember that open-air tabernacle where we would go in for services. And I could almost literally, in my mind, take you to the very spot that I was kneeling at the altar when I remember God speaking to my heart that night and showing me I had a need of just surrendering to Him. Just as a little boy there, as a junior camper, and just acknowledging to God, I need to surrender my life to You. And then I can't take you to a particular bus, but as a memorial to me, I think about buses that I rode on as a young child, not because I was part of the bus ministry, but because I was serving in the bus ministry. And I can take you to buses that are very special to my heart. Again, not the exact bus, but something that I could go to in my heart, in my mind, where God really began to stir my heart when it came to serving Him on a bus route. A particular thing that could come in my heart and my mind. And then I think about chapel seats that I sat in throughout high school and throughout college. When God used the chapel services, whether it be high school chapel or whether it be a college chapel there at Pensacola when I was attending there. And the way that God stirred in my heart as I heard the preaching of the Word of God. And then I can even take you to the platform of this church here where I made one of the greatest decisions of my life when I was able to marry my wife. Take you to that place and say, hey, that's a memorial, because that's an important decision, isn't it? A spiritual decision, who we decide to marry. And then I think about hospital rooms that I could take you to that would be spiritual memorials for me, where God allowed my wife and I to have children. And the time that He made me a father. And the spiritual memorial that I can think of that day, as He placed a great responsibility in my life when I became a father. And so would it be in your life? I know it's true. I know you can. But how often are we reminded of these spiritual memorials that we have? It would be really tragic in our lives if we were so hasty to advance in our Christian life that we failed to leave spiritual memorials at the crossroads of our life when we've made some very important decisions. Maybe that spiritual memorial, again, is from a decision that you made, or perhaps maybe you have a spiritual memorial of an answered prayer. Anybody have a spiritual memorial like that? We do, don't we? Of answered prayers, where we can say God specifically answered a prayer. One of the things I really enjoy about that new devotional book we've gotten for our children is that we could take that devotional book, which we have available in the back for the children in our ministry here, and it has a little section in the back there where we can write down prayer requests, and I love where it says off to the right-hand side there, the date God answered that prayer. That's a memorial, isn't it? Where God has come along beside us as we've prayed and we've talked to Him and He's answered that prayer. Maybe, perhaps, for some of you, you'd say a spiritual memorial for me would have been a time of personal revival, where I really experienced personal revival. Whether it be that you were actually at what we would say is a revival service, Or maybe it was just the church service that you were attending where you say, God really stirred my heart, and it was personal revival. Maybe for some of you, it was personal revival when just perhaps reading your devotions one day, and God began to stir your heart. Just about like what we preached about this morning, right? Be still and know that I am God. The importance of stillness and how that God can use those times even as a spiritual memorial. Or maybe for some, a spiritual memorial would be a moment of God's power that was on display in your life. At times, throughout the Bible, God would ask His people, or His people would just choose, they would make choices, to lay memorial stones as a memory of what God did in their life. And I want to draw you to some of those tonight that we're going to look at by way of this message, and we're going to start in Genesis chapter number 28, but I want to read a verse for you in Deuteronomy. Now, if you want to find that, that's fine, but you could keep your place there in Genesis. I want to read a verse in Deuteronomy before I even get to these passages, because here's what I want us to understand about spiritual memorials and how memorials are important and how they matter. The reason I think it's so important for us to have spiritual memorials is because God realizes, and we ought to realize as well, how quickly we can forget things. How quickly we can even forget sometimes the very blessings of God, and how we need to constantly remind ourselves of that. Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verse number 12 says this. It says, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And certainly our thought probably would be, well, I'm not going to forget the Lord. I'm not going to forget His goodness. But it is good to remind ourselves, isn't it? It's good to have those memorials that we can go back to, if it's even just in our hearts and our minds, to just remind us of the goodness of the Lord. And we can realize, again, how quickly we can forget things. I came across, now I'm not usually one to stop in the middle of a message and tell a joke, but as I was preparing this message, I came across one that I thought you would really enjoy. As I was kind of putting all this together, I came across a story of a guy who was known for having a bad memory. Would anybody in here acknowledge maybe you have a bad memory? Anybody? Okay, all right. Some hands that are up there. I know sometimes I forget things from time to time as well, but he had a bad memory and he was known for that. And he ran into his friend who he hadn't seen for quite a while. And he asked him, he said, hey, do you remember this bad memory that I used to have where I would forget things all the time? And of course, his friend said, yeah, you know, I remember. I haven't seen you for a little while, but I remember how that you had this poor memory. And he says, well, I don't have a problem with that anymore. He said, I went to a seminar on how to remember things well. And he said, when I got done this seminar, he said, now I've got a great memory. I mean, I'm remembering things more than I ever have. Well, his friend asked him, he said, well, what was the name of that seminar? Right away, he had even forgotten what that was. And he said, well, I tell you what. He said, my wife was there, and she was there with me. And he said, so I tell you what, he says, I'll ask my wife and see if I can get the answer to you. And he turned over to the side, and he saw his wife there. And then he turned back to his friend, and he asked his friend, he said, what's the name of that flower? He said, it has a long stem, and he said, it has thorns on it, and it has a red bloom. And his friend looked at him, and he said, it's a rose. Oh, he said, yeah, thanks for that. He said, Rose? He said, what was the name of that seminar we went to? And how quick we are sometimes to forget things. But God wants us to remember, because these spiritual memorials are significant moments in our spiritual walk with the Lord, aren't they? And we're going to find that out to be true as we go through these passages. Look at Genesis chapter number 28. And this is the story of Jacob. Genesis 28, down in verse number 10, it says, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. So Jacob here is traveling to Haran, and the Bible tells that he has a dream. Look at what it says in verse number 11. It says, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. So these angels are ascending and descending on a ladder that reached to heaven. We've heard the story. And then it says in verse number 13, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. God is going to repeat, and we're going to read a few more verses here, but he's going to repeat a promise that he had already given to Abraham. It says in verse 14, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee. Then the Bible tells us that Jacob decides to set up a stone as a pillar. The Bible says in verse 18, if you just look down at verse number 18, it says, and Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. Look down at verse 22. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Jacob sets up this stone as a pillar, pouring oil and naming the place Bethel. For Jacob, this was a personal spiritual memorial, wasn't it? And what was it a memorial of? It was a reminder of what God had said, the promises that God has given. And it would be good if we had spiritual memorials in our life just to remind us of the promises that God has given to us, the times that he has spoken to us and he has given us promises, whether it's through his word, as again we get still with him and we allow his Holy Spirit to speak to us, but just to have reminders, just to have spiritual memorials that we will not forget the promises of God that are seen all throughout his word. Then if you would look to Joshua chapter number 4, Joshua chapter number 4, this maybe perhaps would be the one that we would be most familiar with. Joshua chapter 4, and we're not going to take the time to read Joshua chapter number 3, but in Joshua chapter number 3, the Israelites miraculously, miracle from God now, they crossed the Jordan River on dry land. And then God, you remember I said this a little earlier in the message, that at times God would speak to his people and tell them to lay down memorial stones. And then sometimes they would make choices to do that. Jacob made a choice to do that. But now God directs Joshua. Notice what it says in verse number 1 of Joshua chapter number 4. It says, and it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. Now they were to choose 12 stones as a reminder of what God had done for them. Again, remember, Jacob sets up this stone as a memorial of what God had promised to him. But now Joshua here and the men of Israel are going to set up this stone as a reminder of what God had done for them. As a matter of fact, specifically in verse number 4, it's referred to as a memorial. Look at what verse number 7 says. Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. That word memorial there even has the thought behind it of something that we are to remember. We can remember when we set up spiritual memorials the faithfulness of our God, what he has accomplished in our lives. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 20. It says, and those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. So eventually they brought them to Gilgal, and that's where this stone memorial was laid. But there's a reason behind this stone memorial. It wasn't just a personal reminder for the children of Israel forever of what God had done, but it also had another special reason. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 6. I love this. Verse number 6, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Well, we've already read verse number 7, but what are you going to be able to do? You're going to be able to give them an answer, aren't you? You're going to be able to share with your children the faith that you have in Jesus Christ, the promises that He has given to you, the way that you have been able to see Him do great things and give you victory and accomplish things in your life. These will be spiritual memorials for your children. And hey, let's go a step further, even for our grandchildren, right? Spiritual memorials of what God has done for us. Look down, if you would, to verse number 21 of Joshua chapter 4. It says, and He spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God, He says, dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which He dried up from before us until we were gone over. What a way to share your faith with your children. I remember we were at camp years ago, and I remember Brother Tim got up, and he was preaching, and along the course of his preaching, he was talking to us about a man who would travel around singing. His name slips my mind. I know him well, but his name slips my mind off the top of my mind. I can't remember his name, but he travels around, and he sings. And he was talking to his daughter one day. They had been traveling through a certain area where he was asked to sing. And he was telling his daughter, he said, now I know we don't typically go through this area. He said, but while we're here, he said, this was the place, this was the city where your dad got saved. And he said, here's what I'd like you to do. He said, here's what I'd like us to do. He said, since we're here right now and we're in this area, he said, I'm going to go to the actual apartment that I got saved, and I'm going to find out if perhaps maybe I can actually even take you to the door and show you the apartment that I was saved in. Well, unbeknownst to him, the apartment was empty and they were working on it, and he came up to it and he found the door to be wide open and he just walked right in. Some folks were working there and they were, I think, getting it settled for the new person that was to move in. And he thought, this is great. I could actually take you to the very place. And he took his daughter into one of the bedrooms. And he showed her and he said, this is the place where your dad trusted Christ as his Savior. He said, I'm taking you to the actual place. He said, I know we don't pass through here much. I'm so thankful the Lord opened this door for us to do this. And he said, here's the place where dad trusted Jesus as his Savior. And I'll never forget, Brother Tim said that his daughter looked at him. And she said, I'm so excited to be able to see the place where you got saved. And she looked at her dad and she said, you know, Dad, she said, I can take you to a place for myself as well. I can take you to a place where I trusted Jesus as my Savior as well. But isn't it great to know that we can have spiritual memorials that we can set up to share our faith, even with our children? When the children would pass by, perhaps, and they would say, what are these stones set up here for? Oh, what a wonderful opportunity to say, this is a memorial. I can share my faith now with you of what God did for us. And God even says to him, this is the story that you can share. Look at what verse number 24 says. It says that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Verse number 24 tells us that spiritual memorials can also be a personal testimony before everyone of the working of a great God. Hey, this is a testimony forever to all, it says, the people of the earth, that they can know that we serve a mighty God who gives us great victories and He's faithful to us and He's accomplished great things in our life. But it goes even a step further here in Joshua chapter number 4. Because now we want to look back at verse number 4. We've established now that these 12 stones were taken there and they were placed in Gilgal as a spiritual memorial. But look back to verse number 9. It says, and Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan. in the place where the feet of the priest which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. What did Joshua do? Joshua said, well, I'm going to follow the direction of the Lord, and I'm going to have you take these 12 stones. Eventually, they transported them there and set them up in Gilgal. But here's what Joshua said. Joshua says, I'm going to make a personal memorial as well. I'm going to make a personal memorial right here in the very place that God delivered us, in the very place that God rescued us. So those 12 stones is a reminder to the children of Israel, but Joshua in a personal way, saying, hey, this is a personal reminder of what God has done for me. And you know what? God would like us to set up spiritual memorials because He knows that we'll need reminders, won't we? We'll need reminders of His power, and we'll need reminders of His protection and of His presence in our life and how He's answered prayer and how He's helped us to make decisions for the Lord. And isn't it amazing that when you set up spiritual memorials and you're reminded, you remind yourself of all that God has done in the past in your life, it gives you confidence for every new challenge that you'll face in the future? And think about how good God was back then. It gives me confidence to the fact that when I have a new challenge that I'm going to face, I'll be able to face it with confidence. It's almost as if when I go back to the spiritual memorial that I've set up, that my faith is renewed all over again. And I'm ready to make the next step for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at 1 Samuel here, as we want to look at the last one tonight. 1 Samuel chapter number 7, and then we're going to try to make an application of this as we draw it to a close. 1 Samuel chapter number 7, and let's notice the stone that Samuel set up. Israel is under imminent attack from the Philistines. God is going to deliver the Israelites in an amazing way. God leads them to victory. And Samuel, he sets up a stone. And he even gives that a name. Look at what the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 7, starting in verse number 7. It says, and when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that He will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to the battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came unto Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Again, an imminent attack from the Philistines is against the Israelites, and God is able to lead them to victory as Samuel prays on their behalf, and Samuel sets up this stone, and he names it Ebenezer, which has the idea of a stone of help. Samuel recognized their source of victory. It wasn't anything we accomplished. It was all because of our God. He is the one who helped us. And we do not want to soon forget God's grace. Hey, listen, a spiritual memorial gives all glory to God, doesn't it? This is all God. This is none of me, but it's all God's grace in my life that allows me to have these spiritual memorials or reminders of the goodness of God. I had an opportunity many, many years ago now to preach a camp up in the state of Pennsylvania. And it was a week-long camp. It was a teen camp, and it was a week-long camp. And a bunch of teenagers were gathered there, and I was the speaker throughout the course of the entire week. Well, I can't remember the exact details of the message, but I remember preaching a message to the teenagers about the importance of setting up a stone where they can have spiritual memorials or spiritual reminders of the goodness of God and how He spoke to them in their life. And I preached the message in such a way where I tried to challenge them to make that particular service a spiritual memorial. And I had an opportunity, my wife and I had an opportunity to visit one of the, at the time, teenagers, now a young adult, that was in that camp when I preached. He was a teenager again back then, now a young adult, probably close to 30 now. And he said to me, when I saw him, my wife and I had a chance to visit his family. And he said to me when I visited him, he said, years ago, he said, when you were preaching at teen camp, he said, you preached a message, and he said, you had us all take a stone. And what I did is I literally went out into the onto the outside of the camp property, and I grabbed some stones. They had a little place of water there, and I grabbed a bunch of stones, and I brought them into the auditorium. And I said, this could be a night in which you could make a decision of surrender to the Lord, where this could be your stone of memorial. And he was telling me, he said, I wanted to let you know that I still have that stone. And he said, and I also want to let you know, he said, that that message changed my life. He said, I grabbed that stone that night, and he said, it's a memorial to me, a reminder to me of the way that the Lord used that message. I remember being at camp, and it was last summer, and Brother Tim's daughter got up to sing. And she started talking to us about how that her and her husband had really had the Lord stirring in their life as they had been reading through the Word of God about the importance of having memorials in their life. And she talked to us about how that they had taken a wall in their house. And again, I may have shared this story with you already, but they had talked about how they had taken a wall in their house, and they told us that this has become our memorial wall. And we have on this wall pictures that we have taken from places where God has given us, helped us to make decisions and helped us to move on for Him. And the places where we trusted Christ as our Savior, we took pictures of those places. And we put these on our wall. And she said, we're using these as a spiritual memorial, a reminder of what God has done in our hearts. And we go back to the book of Joshua with what she said next. She said, and you know, we found that our children are starting to ask us, hey, why is that picture there? What kind of meaning does that picture have? And their children were asking them about that memorial wall. Could you explain to us what that means? What did God do in your life right then? And they've been able to share the memorial, the spiritual memorials of how God has helped them. And so I ask you tonight, as we bring the message to a close, what kind of memorials do you have in your life? Because they are important. They matter. And I wanted to preach this message with this thought of something that mattered, and memorials being something that matters, because I want it to be that when you hear messages from this pulpit, you're even able to have opportunity to say, hey, I could make a spiritual memorial from that opportunity I had to hear someone preach the Word of God. We want this place even to be a place where you'd say, I've been able to establish some spiritual memorials there. I've been able to have some revival in my life there. I've been able to see God answer prayer. I've been able to use an altar to make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm setting up some spiritual memorials, even in our church. It is so important. It does matter in our lives. For you, it might not be a stone like this young man took when I preached that night. For you, it might not be a memorial wall in your house. It might not be a monument of stones like we read in the Bible that was set up here tonight. But you could certainly have opportunity to have memories of spiritual memorials that you've set up in your life. Reminders of God's goodness. But listen, not just reminders of God's goodness, also reminders of our commitment to Him. I thought about this as I was preparing this message. I thought about how that really, even that's one of the reasons why we observe the Lord's Supper, isn't it? Just to remind us so that we don't soon forget, in the busyness of our life, that Jesus shed His blood for us, that Jesus' body was broken for us. We have an opportunity in our mind to be reminded of that, His goodness to us, and then our commitments that we make to Him. So let's visit frequently in our mind and in our heart these spiritual memorials that we set up. They can remind us of times of decision when God clearly guided us, when He might have called you to a certain task or spoke to you about a certain commitment. Keep track of these spiritual memorials. Rehearse them over and over in your mind, and it'll help you with every future decision that you'll ever be able to make as you strengthen yourselves from the spiritual memorials of what you've already experienced of God's goodness. Can we read one last verse and we'll be done? Look with me in your Bible at Judges chapter number 2, and I want to finish by telling you one more reason why spiritual memorials are so important. Judges chapter 2 and verse number 10. Judges chapter 2 and verse number 10. We'll close with this. A reminder of how important spiritual memorials are. Judges 2 verse 10 says this. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Isn't it so important for us to be reminded of the spiritual memorials that we have so that, again, we can pass them on to the next generation? The tragedy of how quickly we can forget. So let us constantly be reminded of the spiritual memorials when it comes to decisions we've made for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads. And as we do, we're going to ask Miss Dawn to come to the piano and give a hymn of invitation, or play.